7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master, Lecture 9. My purpose is to live now. We discussed I am a balanced me and I activate my stem cells. And that didn't want to come through too well for some reason. We discussed the idea I look at myself and see me balanced. I look at my emotions and see them harmonious. I carefully observe my thought factory in quality control. I know I'm happy with myself and with all that is in my universe. And then I activate my stem cells. My stem cells come ready to go to be themselves and have fun. To activate my stem cells, I quietly, confidently see each one illumined by my positive, happy thoughts. My stem cells know who and what I am as they enter my body and consciousness. Therefore, I must clean house before they arrive and keep it clean forevermore. My stem cells are activated upon arrival, and I am their role model for whom and what I am. These are some very, very interesting and powerful ideas. In the Popular Science magazine, they had a beautiful little item, and the item is medical tech. Deep thoughts, a new trick for viewing brain cells without a scalpel. Physicist Hans-Ulrich Dutt, a visiting professor at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, they always have a lot of good people to work over there, don't they? Has figured out how to see nerve cells deep in mice brains as clearly as little neon motel signs. His technique could advance research on Alzheimer's disease by quickly showing how new drugs affect nerve degeneration in rodent brains. It could also make three-dimensional fly-through animations of the brain possible for the first time. To see deeper than a millimeter inside the brain, scientists currently have to slice it into hundreds of thin sectors and reconstruct the distorted neurons in 3D on a computer. Dutt's solution is to first render the whole brain transparent by immersing it in an oily solution that prevents any light scattering that might cloud the image. Then he slices with light instead of a knife, shining a laser on the tissue, which has been generally genetically engineered to fluoresce. Observed under a microscope, the result is a stunning 3D view of neurons. The technique could scale up considerably, said Dutt, who teaches full-time at the Vienna University of Technology. Next, he'll try higher resolution cameras, among other tweaks, to see all the organs inside of a mouse embryo. They had an article in the magazine also, and it was an article about the brain of an athlete who had died and what had happened, all the concussions he had on his brain from bumping into other people, you know, football especially, being so aggressive. And all of the areas that were affected and observed were areas that were traumatized, and by being traumatized, they were made in such a way that they made the brain ineffective for the person. Now, they have figured out a way that they can use stem cells to alleviate this, and they're working on that now. And you see, there's money in that. There is money in that research. Money being the research from sports. and sports is a big commodity. And who would like to see football cease to be a sport? You know? Who would like to see the stadiums of the countryside that are made available for football no longer have football? Maybe soccer, huh? And so this is something that they're putting a lot of money into, because they want to make sure that the brain is protected and it is not going to be damaged. One photo they showed of where the men were all colliding with each other, and the helmet of one fellow flew up in the air, and naturally it'd be of no value to him. And in other helmets, they are placing different types of devices that will keep the brain from being injured or being jarred too much. Now, that's quite high technology and quite interesting and quite fascinating. Now, you are on the cutting edge of awareness of this stuff because I'm telling you. You're on the cutting edge of the understanding of stem cells. And when I leave you sometimes during a seminar or during a talk, I am working on other areas where we are coming up with information and ideas how stem cells can be more effectively, readily, and beneficially used for everyone. And it always comes back to the same thing. It always comes back to the same thing of being what your thought is. One of the most powerful ingredients, if you like to say, in the universe today is our thought. Our thought is one of the most powerful tools that can be used to accomplish anything we want to accomplish. Now, many people are accomplishing many wonderful things with their thoughts, but they are ignored primarily because people are unable to really admit that the thought is so powerful. Our thoughts are not as powerful for us as they could be because we have so many of them, because we have so many thoughts that tear the other thought apart. One thought will say, I'm whole and perfect. And the other thought would say, look at the appearances. See, one thought would say, everything's going to pot. Another thought would say, but look at the benefits here. Look at all the wonderful things that are happening. Well, now, why are all these wonderful things happening? Period. Why are all of these non-beneficial things happening? Period. The reason both are happening is because of thought. One has thought categorically, powerfully, uniquely designed just for whatever that purpose is, the purpose of understanding the stem cells and utilizing them to our best advantage. And another one might be on the dark side, saying that our thoughts are evil and that we are evil and that the benefit of the thought is to destroy us. And just like a dog is God, D-O-G, G-O-D, thought I'd tell you about them, and just like evil is live. You transmit evil around and up comes live. So, you see, it's sort of foolish. Now the statement comes, Ellen Jeremini, into which mirror are you looking? Are you looking at the mirror that reflects twice and has it evil, or that reflects once and has it live? What are we seeing? What are we seeing? What are we looking for in our universe? What do we want to have? What are we going to train these beautiful stem cells that are ready to be trained? What are we going to train them to do, to fulfill, to work? Now, the Max Planck Institute in Germany is doing a lot of research on STEM work, and they're getting a lot of publicity on it. But that's just a small token of what's going on. The reason the stem cells are so popular and the reason the stem cells are getting so much interest is because some major diseases can be alleviated by stem cells once they are understood more completely. And the stem cells open the doorway to all knowledge, all wisdom, all genius, because they are like the carte blanche, they are like the open sesame to the mind, bypassing what?
The brain.
They bypass the brain. The brain is set up to be a modulator, to modulate the information that comes into our world. If we truly had all the information that the mind is giving us constantly, revealing to us, that the universe around us is revealing to us, if we truly had all of that information, we would not have the capacity to absorb it. We would not have the capacity to understand it. So we have modulated our brain to just siphon through a little bit. Now, this was a limited consciousness in humanity that mutated the brain over years to have that situation about it. Originally, the brain just flat, everything came through, right through. And there was not that much, so to speak, cognitive knowledge going around. And because there wasn't that much knowledge in the universe, the brain could handle pretty much of the stuff that came through. But as the years went by, the amount of information alone, as well as knowledge, as well as concepts, these things became so vast and so grand and so wonderful and so interlapping and interloping. One reflected upon another, and one acted an interaction, in, like in chemistry, you have different catalytic chemicals that interact with others and do not themselves change, but they change the chemicals that are involved. Magic things take place, and the mind is just beginning to focus in on all of this tremendous information, this tremendous understanding. Now, unfortunately, we had small minds which decided that we shouldn't have so much information in our head, that we can't handle it. We cannot think more than one or two thoughts at a time. Well, that's very true. You cannot think more than one thought at a time. But you can think of a thousand, a million thoughts in instant repetition, in such speed and such genius, such completeness, that you don't even realize it. That they say, and they have recorded this, and I've experienced it, when you have a near-death experience, and I was going to drown in the ocean, and I said, well, what the hell, what can I do? So I just relaxed and went along with the rolling undertow, and I went out 700 miles to sea, you know, and then I finally came up to the surface, and I relaxed and just floated. But on the way out, in that 3 or 4 seconds on the way out, my entire life was revealed to me. It was played back to me in color, you know, motion picture in color and everything else, all the details. And I could remember all of them when I first came up. I was alert to all of them, but then as I was up there, I was so happy to be breathing air again, I forgot to be concerned about all the beauty that I had just witnessed. And this is true for many other people who report the same type of incident. Now, what I'm saying by this, in my mind had the capacity, I think I was 28 years old at the time, maybe, my mind, maybe 30, but I mean, my mind had the capacity to review my entire life, 30 years. Review every single little detail, every trauma, every joy, every whatever, more joys than traumas. And so it was quite a nice experience. But I had that capacity. So now when we see on Star Trek and we see on Matrix and we see on all these other science fiction movies where they say that they will put a chip in the brain and that chip will give you the complete knowledge for flying airplanes or the complete knowledge for the history of the universe to that point, or and more. So it's an ongoing thing. Or not even a chip, just an electrical jolt, electrical charge. You saw The Navigator, the movie about this young man, and he ended up having the entire spatial charts that that ship needed to go back wherever it came from. And all the charts got into his head for some reason, and which is an interesting thought, and his brain held him, but he didn't know it. It took, you see, our brain has such a capacity for holding, filing information that we are only using 1/10 of 1/110th percent, you know, just a minimal amount. And our autonomic nervous system does most of the work for us, and we're just not benefiting from the things we can do. So, but these science fiction movies are not so strange, because they tell what people are dreaming. They tell what people think might be or would like to be. They say that would be kind of a wonderful thing to be. Be wonderful to be. I remember one book I read, just made me quite thrilled. I think I was 20 or 25 at the time, and it was a science fiction book, paperback. And this ship went into outer space, and there were five or six people on it, some women, some men. And as they were going, it's quite a distance, quite, it took time. And so the people were had illnesses or bodily aging and other things that took place. So every couple of months or years, each person would go into this room. And this room had a bed. And the bed had a sort of a fluid in it. It was a foamy sort of stuff, real cuddly, real snuggly, and you get in it and you sink right in it. Your head and everything goes right in it. And you stay there until you're kicked out. It has a switch, you know, and so you're timed to be in there for like 10 minutes or an hour or whatever the time may be, and then it just oozes you out, you know, because you're done, you're cooked. I don't know, maybe if you went in there longer, you might even get younger or whatever. But what happens is you return to the age that you were when you first entered the ship. You have absolutely perfect health. It's not a matter of whether the health is what you had or what you'd like to have, but perfect health, perfect eyesight, perfect ear, everything about you is perfect. You know, you're just fantastic. And you come out of there and you feel just glorious, you know. So I have always had that in my heart as sort of a cool way to do it, really a nice idea. But they're doing that too today. Today, it's being done more realistically as we think about the stem cells going into our body and rejuvenating our cells, rejuvenating our organs, rejuvenating the muscles and the tones and the nerves and the bones, rejuvenating everything and returning it to its original purity and integrity. Now, they don't use that word because they don't understand that word, but that's okay, we do. And this is what's going on in the business of stem cells today. And I opened up Pandora's box on the stem cells by going in WikiUppie and the other dictionaries in the computer, because as I was going to go to Europe, and I thought, I want to look up this word. And so I looked up this word, and it says, we will tell you that we will titillate you with little first headlines from all the major newspapers about what's going on. But if you want to have more, then you'll have to pay $100 a year for a membership in this organization, and then you can tune into everything. Everything is open to you, all of it. So I sent them $100, and it was all open. And my goodness, you know, how do you start and stop? You have to categorize. You got to know what you're looking for. You got to know what area you're looking for, and who's doing what, and how it's being done. And it's quite an educational situation. Well, I did that for about a month before I went to Europe. And when I went to Europe, I was primed. I was great. That's the stuff that you're in the process of putting onto the internet. See, it's 82 items between a half an hour and an hour and a half long each, you know, and waiting to get onto the net. So we'll get them there. But that's on my first go at the stem cell program. And more is to come. More is to come, because as I open my computer and shoop, up comes more, up, shoop, more. I go into Word for Windows and I look up a word and it gives me a sheet going down the side. It says, now, what dictionaries do you want to go into? You want to go into the World of Dictionaries? You want to go into the encyclopedias? You want to go into medical dictionaries? You want to go into, oh my goodness sakes, you know, and any language. Any language, you can go into any cultural language you want to go into and find out what they're doing in that country. Or you can take the Wikipedia and it'll tell you what's going on in every country in English, you know, which is nice. But you see, these are the things that are happening. These are the things that you're part of. These are the things that you're looking into. But you see, you're blessed. You're blessed because I work with you. And I'm not saying that I'm supposed to be so good because I'm working with you, but you're blessed because I'm working with you, and I'm working with you on the area of the brain cell where you can use it any moment, any time, for any purpose, without asking anybody, without getting the government approval or any of those other things which, you know, have been happening. And it's now, when we finish with this seminar, if you haven't got enough material packed into your brain telling you all about the stem cells and how they function and how you can function them, perhaps we won't have had you practice enough on functioning them, but we might. It depends on how quickly you want to work with me and how quickly you want to do the things I said. Now, you see, I told you last night, I said, turn in these things at breakfast, you know, turn not breakfast, but at the morning 3-hour meditation. And only two of you did. Now, you see, it's just an indication of your personal responsibility, how you can take, you're here in this seminar to follow the rules. If you're not going to follow the things I'm telling you, well, don't bother to be here, because you're wasting your time. It doesn't bother me, because I just ignore you. I know exactly where each one of you are and what you're working on and how serious you are and how flippant you are. And as I look at each one of you and see each one of you acting in that way, I just moderate the amount of attention that I give you based upon your sincerity. Now, it's all up to you. And sometimes you can even put me to sleep. And I don't mind that at all. But this is not the first time that sort of thing happens, because wherever I go around the country, I'm dealing with a tremendous variety of people. People with many intellectual levels. And I would think that the Nigerians would have a limited amount of opportunity to be brilliant and to have intellectual understanding. And every Nigerian that I've had the privilege of meeting is a genius, an absolute genius. They are so intensely interested, so intensely aware, so putting themselves into these things with all their heart and soul and being, it is just a delight to work with them. And then in other areas, like in New York and a few other places I've been, the people were so-so. They were still looking for Jesus to take care of them, where Jesus said, I got to go so the Comforter can come, because you're depending on me, you should be depending on yourself. You can do these wonderful things and do them far better than I've demonstrated them for you. And the reason you can do them better than I demonstrated them for you is because you didn't have your eyes open. Can you imagine if anybody really liked what I did, and then they waited 50 years before they wrote something down about it? Wouldn't that be something? And no computers, you know, no tape recorders, nothing but just the mind and memory. Which is pretty good, because the Hebrews had everything done by memory, and the Hebrew books of the Bible were given by memory only until at some time they wrote them down. And when they wrote them down, they wrote them down in such an interesting manner that they did not have commas, paragraphs, they did not have capital letters, they did not have spaces between words. And I have the book here. And everything that they wrote down was one long sentence. I think you have the book at your house, Sylvia.
Okay.
This is the book on the language that Jesus used, you know. Okay, and so it's a great book, and I'm not so interested in how they're interpreting what was said as what great trial they had in trying to figure out what was said. And it's quite fascinating. Now, we are in a very flamboyant, very fluid, very open era. We're in an era where all knowledge is just poured out upon us through our books and through television and radio and through whatever other magazine sources and what have you that we have. And we just have it available. And then we have geniuses, and really geniuses, who are out there ready to sell you their package of how you can be a better genius, how you can use your mind more intelligently, how you can make $1 million, and how you can do all these things. And that's great, too, because basically they're right. But they're motivating you in the wrong way. They're motivating you merely to be healthy, merely to be rich, merely to be wise. They're not motivating you to be the allness that you are. If any of these organizations were really tuned in to your highest good, what they would do would be to teach you how to use your stem cells. Now, we saw the movie The Secret, and we thought to ourselves, what a bunch of garbage, you know. Here they say, this is a secret, and the secret is the law of attraction, which is a law of cause and effect, which is okay. And there's nothing secret about it. People have used it, will use it, can use it, and they make it a secret because they want to get your attention. They want to attract you to it. And of course, they have some good concepts in there. They have some good speakers. They have some well-known promotionalists, entrepreneurs of various kind. And that's good. That's good because they bring attention to that. But what they're doing is they're taking people in for a fall. They're taking people in for a fall because they think somebody else is going to do something for them. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Everything that you get is because you have let go of your limited idea of yourself and claimed the idea that you are magic right now, that you are the allness right now, you are the isness right now, you are it right now. Do you understand? Now, that seems so simple. It seems so reasonable that anyone should certainly be able to pick that up and follow it. But you can't. Remember the words of Jesus. He had his disciples and he was teaching them how to do laying out of hands and healing and how to do all the things that he taught them to do. Raise the dead, you know, that sort of stuff, you know. And they came to him and said, hey, Jesus, doesn't work. He said, oh, you have little faith. You know, must I do everything for you? You have little faith. Now, what was it that he meant to say when he said little faith?
No.
Huh?
No self-confidence.
No, that's a better word for it. I was going to say no conviction.
Trust in yourself, no.
What's that?
Trust yourself and know.
Yeah, trust yourself and know. And that's self-confidence. That's conviction. That is what, and that's what it is. Now, do you think that silly old girl, what's her name? Who would say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Remember her?
Catherine Kuhlman.
She's a lovely, lovely lady. I enjoyed meeting her several times, and it was great. But the thing is, she's just a silly girl. She believed that the words of Jesus healed. And I mean, that's what Jesus said, too. He said, my word will go before and heal and make open the way. And so she believed this. Her dad was a Methodist minister, and she was a minister, I'm sure, too. But she's a very, very, very proper lady. But she would fill the Shriner Auditorium with thousands, 5,000 people. That's what it held. And they would come up, and she would say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And she'd pushed them on the forehead with her forceful hand, and they'd fall back into the arms of the people who were there taking care of that. And many of them walked away healed. Now, how could that happen? It happened because she had conviction. She had conviction. Now, let me ask you further. Do you think she looked at their illness? Do you think that she looked at their problems? She only looked at the fact. She could have said this to them, and this would have blown their minds. She could have said, "Well, my sweet little one, every one of your 10,000 stem cells are just crawling all over your body, all over your face. They're just crawling all over you, just like ants crawling all over you, healing you and returning you to your original period. Just put your hands on yourself right now for a minute and watch. These ants are crawling all over you. These little white stem cells are crawling all over you, oozing all around you. You know, and what would happen to people? You know, and they would get that tingle, and they would get that healing feeling, and they would have the healing done, because they had the conviction, they had the awareness. Now, do you think the white stem cells were doing their work? Sure. Did they know it at that time? That's only about 20 years ago, maybe 30 years, 40 years ago. Time flies. But you see, they didn't know that at that time. They didn't know. But they did know. Jesus said, "Believe, and it is done. It is done unto you according to your belief." Do you believe? Now, I don't need to keep saying Jesus and use that name, because science says the same thing, and every other philosopher and what have you says the same thing. But he's a notable source that's easy to pick on or pick up with, you know. So let's recognize that we want to be having a good time and having fun and being ourselves and enjoying doing this. And as you enjoy doing this, then you tingle all over, you tickle all over. Has anything ever made your body tingle? Has anything ever made you just shiver with delight? Have you ever had that feeling of magic? And I kind of think, Irene, that that's a constant state for you. Because if you are in the field of magic, if you are in the field of clowning, if you're in the field of healing, if you're in the field of having a friend like Dodie, you know, if you're in a field of living in that sort of a blessed consciousness, you must be tingling all the time, you know. I would imagine any person that she would touch would tingle and just walk away whole and perfect. What a nice little thing to do. And starting with yourself. So these are things that we want to really be aware of. Now, it works. Just participate in this. Don't sit back there and say, "I wish." Don't sit back there and say, "He talks up good storm, but I don't see any results." And you won't. Because it's not my choice or my desire or choice to have you see results. Because if you see results, then you'll just depend on the results. Then you'll say, "Well, why don't you do it for me? You did it for them. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" And you don't know. You see, I've told you this, and I'll tell it again. You don't know how many people are here. You don't know how many people you're working with and in your seminars that you're attending. You don't know how many people are there. And those people that you don't know who are there are the ones who had experienced a spiritual healing and went away, and no record of them was ever having been there. You don't know. And then you say, "Well, Herb, that's just a con out for not telling us the things." I wouldn't tell you if you paid me. I wouldn't tell you anybody that got healed. If I start telling you people who got healed, right away you start making a big fuss over it. That's why I use very few illustrations. Just our one about Irene, remember, with her cancer. And her cancer, and her cancer, and so forth. You see, and it went away, total remission. But she let the problem bring it back, and that's where the nonsense comes. Every one of you have had total remission of any negative influence in your life many times, but because you redwelt, because you put your attention back on what was the cause of your problem, which you may or may not have known.
I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be unhappy. I have a right to be pissed off.
You don't have a right to be anything. You have a right to be happy. You have a right to think happy thoughts. You have a right to think the world is great. You have a right to think that you're the creator of this world. And this is a very nice world. It's a very wonderful world. It's a world filled with super, super stuff, especially Herb Byerly. Now, you don't get a world like that very often, do you? Herb, you sure got an ego. No. I like to play, and you do too. And play along with me, and you'll have a lot of fun, because that's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. I take a nap in the afternoon, and I lay down to get 10 minutes whenever I can, and usually there's so many other things that I'm playing with. And I wake up, and I think, now, is this morning, or is this for the three-hour meditation, or is this for the afternoon, or is this in the evening? Did I take it before I went to bed or something? Well, why was I laying down, you know? And what am I doing? And then I think, piffle, piffle. It doesn't matter. And then I get up and I say, everything's in time. And it is. Everything's in time. And I'm just as happy as a lark. And my body says, hey, that's nice. We appreciate it when you give us about 8 hours of sleep or more or less. That makes us feel good. But it doesn't need it, because that's all consciousness too. When we start getting so excited about living, so excited about everything we're doing, then what happens to us? We're so excited, we don't think about sleeping. If you're doing a bit of artwork and you are a great, or even not a great painter, if you're a painter and you're painting a picture and you get so engrossed in it, if nobody comes in to bother you, you might paint right on through the night and the next day. You might not even go to the bathroom. And you don't have to. You might not even eat. You don't have to. And when you're done painting it, you get done saying, I like that. And you're not even tired. And you go downstairs, or you go to the other room, and you join whoever's there, if anybody is, and you say, I'm kind of hungry. What have we got to eat in the house, you know? And they say, well, nothing much. Let's go out. And so you go out to a nice restaurant, and you say, I'd rather eat at home. I like my vibrations here. I like the quietness, the peace of eating at home. You go out to a restaurant, and you got everybody else's minds going around you. And not that they're bad or anything, but I like to create my own universe. I like to let my white stem cells live in an environment of peace and harmony and goodness at all times. Neat. So, our topic for our lecture this afternoon, my purpose is to live now. I train myself to recognize the only time and the only place is here and now. My purpose is to live here and now. Though my purpose is to live now, it can be no other way. I recognize that I live now. How could I live any other way than to be myself and having fun living in the present tense now? I have no purpose pre-described. I have a reality in the is. Sometimes we think we're supposed to be an artist or a musician, or we're supposed to be a husband or a wife, or we're supposed to be a mother or a father, or we're supposed to be a teacher, whatever we're supposed to be. We think we're supposed to be these things. And what is it that we're doing when we think those things? We're thinking what the world thinks. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be anything. Do you know that you could go and lay on the lawn and just put your head in the grass and smell the blades of grass and look at them and watch them grow and watch the ants crawl up and down the blade of grass and say, hi guys, are you having a good time? You know, and be totally interested in that. And that is like doing the most major job or most major thing in the world. What does it leave you when you're doing that? Heinz?
Feeling it now.
Feeling now?
Living in the now.
Feeling living in the now, yeah. It makes you feel living in the now. And what else does it make you feel, Sylvia?
Peaceful.
What else does it make you feel?
Happy.
Happy? What else does it make you feel? Ingeborg?
Balanced.
Balanced. That's good. That's an interesting feeling. Okay? What else does it make you feel?
Joy in the world that you've created.
I'm sorry?
Joy in the world that you've created.
Joy and the world?
In the world.
Oh, joy to the world, or joy in the world? Mm-hmm. Okay. And you?
Uninhibited.
That's great. And Gregor, what about you?
Good.
Good. Okay, now. Why would it leave you with those feelings? I mean, all you're doing is doing nothing, lying in the grass, watching the ants crawl up and down a blade of grass. You know, what an ignoble activity, you know. Or is it ignoble? Is it perhaps one of the most noble activities?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are at peace. You are relaxed. You are at one with the world. Now, must we build monuments? What, must we leave our mark on the world by improving someone else's life? Must we in any way make the world a little better than we found it? And the answer is absolutely no. Because if you truly lie on the grass and look at a blade of grass and watch an ant go up and down, you are giving the greatest respect that you can give to creation. Because you're giving 100% attention to a part of creation. Now, have you given 100% of your attention to any other part of creation? Have you looked at your husband or wife? Have you looked at your children? Have you looked at your world? And have you looked at the people in your world? And have you looked at your friends? And have you said about yourself, they're good people. I really enjoy them. I think they're just fine. You know, they're really, not trying to make yourself believe it, but that's just making an affirmation that they really are so wonderful. You know. Now, that is another recognition affirmation of who you are and what you're doing. It's a very beautiful, powerful thing. Because, Irene, what does it do when you do that?
It leaves me peaceful and balanced and just utterly content with who I am. Right?
Very good. Now, why would something in the outer make you peaceful and content within?
Well, it's not the outer, it's not the ant crawling up and down. It's my feeling, my attitude I have at that moment. Like, no expectation, just being. Just having no intention to run and do and be.
Well, what happens when you enter into that kind of a consciousness? What happens to you? What happens to your psyche, your physical, mental, spiritual self? What happens?
It's like a smoothening out or a melting into oneness.
And there's another word that fits in there. All is a reflection of you. And so if you look at the ant crawling up the grass, that's you. That's a reflection of you and your joy in the excitement of life, even crawling up and down a blade of grass. Really, if you look at an ant and you see them crawling over a bump or something like that, and up and down and around, and then you see they have to go backwards, and they're carrying this thing that is maybe six times their own size, and you sort of wonder at it, and you say, why do they do that? How could they be interested in doing that? Well, what fantastic creatures, you know, what fantastic creatures. And that's a delight, isn't it? That's a feeling of recognition of something so fabulous, so wonderful. But you see now, this, and the reason I'm dwelling on these things, this is what life is all about. Life is enjoying every moment now, living in the now, first person, present tense now, living in the now, enjoying every little segment of life that you have. Now, I look at Rochelle here. and she's got a plant growing out of the top of her head. Well, now, she doesn't really have a plant growing out of the top of her head, but it's sticking right up there, you know. And I think to myself, isn't that silly? Well, it looks kind of good, really. It'd make quite a hat. If she wore a hat with a plant sticking out there, she'd be the talk of the town, you know. And people would look at her and they'd say, you get quite an imagination, haven't you? You get quite a lot. You got a lot of guts, too, walking around with a plant on top of your head. And she'd say, not really. She'd say, I like myself. And I felt like wearing it, so I wore it. Now, Rochelle Mueller, tell me who else makes statements like that.
Who else makes statements?
I felt like doing it, so I did it. Who else makes statements like that?
Me.
That's good. But children, yeah, Bailey, see, children do it. They don't care if it feels good to them, they do it. And if it looks stupid and silly and asinine, it doesn't bother them at all. They don't see it. That's why we should shut up. We should shut up and not tell people their slip is showing, you know? We should shut up and not tell people that their skirt is ripped or that they got mud on their shoe or something. I mean, they don't know it. They don't care. And as long as they don't know it and don't care, they're just as happy as peacocks, you know? Walking around, I'm wearing my Sunday best. Look at that. And they don't even see it. They don't even know it. And bless their heart, you know? Or what do office people do? Office people are notorious for being jokesters. And they go around and they love patting people on the back. And they pat people on the back. And you know it's coming, don't you? They pat people on the back. And they pat people on the back. They say, George, you're a super guy. And Mary, you are something else again. Mary, did you have a nice time on your date last night? Oh, good are you. And it's a sign that says, kick me, I'm stupid, you know, or something like that. Or I'm a great lover, ask me out, you know, or other things, you know. And people come up and say, Mary, how about going out tonight? Why am I so popular all of a sudden? I mean, I never get a date, never get requested to go anyplace. Now, today I've had six people come and ask me already, you know. Well, what's going on? And then, of course, some jokester comes along and tells her what's the thing. Mary, look and see what's on your back, you know. And she sees the sign, I'm easy, ask me out. And so, you see, yeah, you like that, huh? But, you see, this is what makes the world go around, being yourself and having fun. Just enjoying yourself. And again, if no one would respond to those signs, if everyone was too proper to respond to those signs, that's the way it should have been. But if anybody, and of course then she goes on the street and walks down the street and people say, oh, it's a hooker, you know, it's somebody looking for business. But and she says, who do you think I am? Well, I don't know, you're advertising. But you see, this is a world of fun. This is a world of joy. It's a world of magic. It's a world of not necessarily being insensitive, and not necessarily carrying your burden on your back, but it's a matter of being untouched by anything. People say, you go out tonight? You say, where would we go? You know, well, I know there's a bar around the corner. I don't go to bars. Well, there's a nice nightclub. Which one? Oh, I'm sorry, I've been to that one. I'm not interested in going there. Well, I'll take you to the penthouse. You know, that's nice, but my husband owns that. Oh, how about that? Well, okay, see you. But, you know, you play the game, you know, and you just have a little fun. And they cannot take offense at it because they're the ones who started it, you know, although it was on your back first. Now, you say, Herb, you certainly know how to make a shaggy dog story out of nothing. And that's true, but I like it. Now, I train myself to recognize the only time is now. Have we ever talked about this before? What have we said about living in the now?
All time is now.
Yeah, well, what have we said about living in the now? I mean, you're on the right track. Just
yes,
go a little further.
I think only what I have now and what I do now is out thinking what I do in 10 minutes.
I think that's fabulous. I think if we all would do that, we would live in a very harmonious world, because there'd be nothing to judge because it hasn't happened yet, you know? And whatever has happened, we don't consider. We only live in the now. Isn't that something? You know, there's no past, no future. All there is just the now. Wouldn't it be something? Now, how would we do that? Ellen, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for this word. Now, you can help me find this word, because you're good with words and you know what the word is. But if you can't think of it, then we'll go on to something else. Gregor, how come you are such an intelligent person? You know, every time I look at you, I see a wise person, a person who is just filled with genius and filled with magic. How come that is, you know? Heinz, where are you going? And you say, I don't let anybody answer. And they think, I would have liked to told him. You know, I'd like to enter into the conversation. He got me started there, but then he left me, you know, he dropped me. You see, if you ever allow anyone to cause you to feel uptight because they talk to you or don't talk to you, then you're empowering somebody else to be the master of you and your universe. And that's a silly thing to do. Because we never give out the power to control us to anyone. Because if we do that, then we are not accomplishing what we want to accomplish. Okay, we live in the now. What does it mean to say I have no purpose prescribed? I have only a reality in the is. I have no purpose prescribed. What does that mean?
There's no destiny.
There's
no destiny.
Yeah, there's no destiny. I could have said there's no destiny, but I said prescribed. There is no program that we must follow based upon our talent, our genius, because we are an artist, because we're Michelangelo, you know, or because we're Mozart, or because we're whoever we may be. There's no genius that must be expressed. There's no genius that must come out. Now, you've seen movies where the guy is a famous sportsman, and he dies, but he wants to live. And so he goes to this rich person who is going to die, but he doesn't know he's going to die. And he says, I'll switch bodies with you, you know. And so the rich person says, sure. And so they switch. And so the sportsman now becomes this rich guy. And, of course, he's got to take care of the businesses that he has, too. And so he, as this rich guy, is a very gentle person. The rich guy was a very severe person. And so here he is running these multi-corporations as a rich guy. But his love is sports. So in his beautiful big house, he takes the large salon and makes it into a gymnasium for himself. And he has all the weightlifting accoutrement that makes it nice for him to keep his body in shape. Plus, he goes out and he runs track. Plus, he has his old coach who used to teach him come and train him. And the old coach doesn't know that this is him living in this body. And naturally, the girls are involved in that. And he has all of these exciting adventures. Then he goes down to his business. And his business is at one point now where it's going to close down the large sports arena. And he doesn't know that. He just signs papers and goes on with his gymnastics and stuff like that. But one of his people comes to tell him, you're closing down the sports arena and, you know, my daughter is there and so forth and what have you. What's that? We're closing down the sports arena? What do you mean? So he checks into it and sure enough, that's what they're doing. And so he immediately cancels that order. And in fact, he pours a bunch of money into it to make it very popular. And the girl thinks that he did it for her. And so there's a big to-do going on in there. But at the end of this of the movie, it seems as though Gabriel made a mistake. You know what Gabriel is? The angel Gabriel, who says who's living and dying. The angel Gabriel made a mistake in heaven. And this guy was not supposed to die, and the other guy wasn't supposed to die. They were both supposed to live, and they were given back their bodies, and if they wanted to make the change. Well, the sportsman, of course, wanted to get back into his sports, and the rich man, he now is such a fabulous body, and he loves sports. He's been, you know, brought into it, and he found these lovely people. For the first time in his life, he cares about something and somebody, and he doesn't know whether he wants to change back or not. So, but he does. He changes back to who he was. And in changing back to who he was, he then is expected by all of the executives to act like the crumb that he had been. And he's not that crumb anymore. He now has a whole new attitude toward life. And so the people that he's working with, they say, but you do this and you do that, and this has to be done and that has to be done. And he says, okay, that's right. And so he fires them. And he goes on, and the business becomes something quite lovely. And the sportsman is back in his sports, having a good time in his sports, doing great things. And this wealthy man is a gentleman now, quite charming and quite lovely. But you see, whoever wrote the story, I like what they did. They did not feel just because they killed him off, they had to kill him off and live in each other's bodies and stuff like that, that had to remain the case. They had a special pact with Gabriel, and so, or whoever is up there in heaven, and they went up there and said, hey, let's make some changes here. And he says, sure, why not, you know, why not? Now, in line with that, do you live forever?
Yes.
Is anybody who has ever died still there?
Yes.
Are they able to live again in this lifetime? If we want it, if they want it?
Sure.
Why don't people live in the same lifetime over and over again? And they don't. Why do people do that?
Been there, done that.
Excuse me?
Been there, done that.
Oh, been there, done that. That's right. That's right, exactly. Been there, done that. You are not stupid as much as you think you are. You think you're stupid, and you think that why did somebody die? Why does somebody live? Why does somebody have illnesses? Why does somebody have problems that they have? And it's all because of their choice. Everyone comes onto planet Earth with the opportunity to have their original purity and integrity shine forth from day one. But many people come forth on planet Earth and they want to have the experiences that they're having. They want to have the illnesses their body has, the limitation of the family they're living in, or the benefits of the family they're living in. They want to have these things. Now, all they have to do, and let's see if you have the answer, all they have to do is what?
Put the cause in motion.
Yeah, yeah, but what cause?
Make a new program for themselves.
Yeah.
Talk to their stem cells.
Yeah, but what would they say to their stem cells?
Whole, perfect.
I am my original purity and integrity. I'm whole and perfect. You see, there's no whole and perfect, because you see, whole and perfect sort of imagines that there's less than perfection there. But I am my original purity and integrity. You know, and that could imagine that it's not there too, but it's a little better than whole and perfect. So, I am my original purity and integrity. Now, again, we're going to get together with Dodo, and she is going to announce to each baby that she brings into the world, she's going to say to them not only that they're a genius, but they now live in their original purity and integrity for the rest of their lives. for the rest of their lives. They live in their original purity and integrity. What's going to happen to those kids?
That's what it is.
That's what they do.
Now, what is their original purity and integrity?
Perfect body, perfect mind, perfect life, perfect everything.
Kind of hung up on the word perfect, huh?
Undefiled.
What's that? What?
Eternally perfect.
Eternally, well, yeah. Perfect requires eternal, but that's okay. What?
Integrity is important.
What's that, please?
Integrity.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, with your personal integrity. You see, when we start thinking in that way, instead of thinking on particularized ways, like their body is perfect, you know, because the minute we're working on the body, we are limiting them to their human body. And they live in a spiritual body, too. They live in a mental body, in a physical body, in a spiritual, mental, and physical body. See, it's a universal body. And Gregor's throwing in here, eternally, you know. Well, now, do you have enough grasp of the words to say the right words to include all that you want to include now? And you could do it later, too, if you want, but what would be the simplest way to say it, Gregor?
Ideal.
Oh, hey, that's a cool word, isn't it?
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I live in my ideal original purity and integrity.
I liked it.
But you see, now I'm not trying to knock off spirit, mind, and body. I'm just saying that that sort of brings with it a picture. And it brings with it a division. And of course, original purity and integrity might be the same type of thing too for some people, and it could just as well be that way. But, yes?
And then I say this 10 times, and then I give earplugs to all the stem cells, and they will never hear anything else anymore.
You must do this every day. Because every day you have 10,000 new stem cells. And you want those 10,000 new stem cells to get the message. Now, I'm sorry to tell you this, my precious one. You have 3 trillion cells in your brain, and only 10,000 new stem cells in your brain. Now, you're putting in a wash job for your 3 trillion stem cells by your 10,000 stem cells every day. Okay, so the 10,000 stem cells have a lot of work to do. Now, can you visualize your brain as one object and see one stem cell purifying your entire brain in its magnificence, opening it up to all the knowledge of the universe, opening it up to being one as in through the one mind, you know, and things like that. Could you do that in your thought?
Yes, nice.
Wouldn't it be something?
Yeah.
You see, this is the neat thing. When we're working with these kind of ideas, when we're working with these kind of thoughts, what we want to do is we want to be flamboyant. We want to be just so outgoing, just so outrageous that we say things that any normal-minded person would shiver to say. Saying I'm God is enough to make anyone else shiver, you know. But when you understand what God is, you have to. Everybody's God. There's no way of getting around it. Everyone's a dog. Looking in the mirror, you know. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And see, this is what kids do. Kids love secret societies. And so they say, I know you're God, but I'll call you dog. You know? And so that's like them reverse. They like to reverse things. And they go around. And Esperanto, have you ever heard of Esperanto?
Yeah.
It's a language that was trying to be used by all countries in the world because it would be non-political. Well, there is nothing that can be non-political, because whoever espouses that language is going to call it theirs, and it'll be political. And so it has its resurgences from time to time. It has it right now. there's this international congress going on in San Francisco right now about it. But so it's fantastic. It's glorious. Now, what are you doing? What is your resurgence? What is your joy for yourself? What is your plan for yourself to open up the door of your consciousness? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Yes? You opened your mouth.
Affirmations.
Affirmations. Why are affirmations the answer?
Well, these are cause put in motion. They're very effective.
Every affirmation is a cause put in motion. That's true. Every affirmation is a cause put in motion. Now, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. That's an affirmation. That's a cause put in motion. It's not a nice one, is it? It brings not nice results, too. But when you go up to your beloved and you say, I love you, ooh, and then walk away quickly, and they will look at you and say, wow, what was that all about? And they'll want to know more. But you see, it's just a simple little thing like that, and you, of course, mean it, but it's a simple little thing like that that puts the cause in motion. And you go up to your son and you say, son, I see your future. I don't know how or why, but you're going to be one of the richest men in the world, one of the most intelligent men in the world, and one of the handsomest men in the world, and one of the wisest men in the world. Boy, oh boy, you know, when I thought of that for you, I wrote it down on a sheet of paper, and it says like this, and his name is Paul. I, Paul, am the richest man in the world. I, Paul, am, and so forth, you know. And so the father gives that to his son, and he says, you know, son, I don't know why I was, you know, guided to do this, why I was guided to write, but my heart just says, write that down for Paul, because that's who Paul is. Write that down for Paul. Write that down for Paul. And so I wrote it down for you. I hope you don't mind, and I hope you don't think I'm silly, but, you know, it's what my heart was telling me to do. Dad, say it again. Anytime. I love it, you know? And really, do that. Do it purposefully. Just go up to someone that you love or don't love, or someone you know or don't know, it doesn't matter, and say, you know, I was sitting over there having a cup of coffee in Starbucks, and I saw you walk into the book counter, and I saw you looking at these books on travel, and I thought to myself, this person must like travel. And so I watched you. And you don't like travel at all, do you? You like the fashions in those countries. That's what you're really looking at. Because I noticed you spent more time looking at these women's dresses and at the thing there. And she said, yes, that's what I really like, is the fashions, you know. And he said, you know, I kind of felt that you were a very special quality type person who would really appreciate fashions like that. And then go. Don't even say goodbye. Don't even say hello. Just go. And you will leave an impression on that person and yourself that will be everlasting. And do this always with... Now, Ellen, she's always talking to kids in grocery carts, you know. And the kids are up in the front of her and back of her or whatever, and she's always talking to them. Well, now, all Ellen has to do is whisper to the kid in a stage whisper. You know what a stage whisper is? It's a whisper that everyone can hear. Did you know you're a genius? Did you know that? Did you know that you are special? That there's something very special coming out in this world because of you. You're wonderful. You're a genius. Loud enough so your mom can hear it, you know. And then go your way. And the kid will look at you and say, who's that clown, you know. And that's okay. But the mother hears it. And do you think the mother is going to give it a second thought of what she calls her daughter? Of how she refers to her daughter? Whether she says to her daughter that you're a genius or you're a nut? You know, you're stupid. You see, these are the things we can do here, living in the now. This is part of what our Daily Workshop 3 is all about. Play with my brain. I draw a picture of my brain and see it ooze with stem cells to obliterate the present cells and flood them with new perspectives. I like to look at the pictures of my brain and see that it is a machine, a vehicle, a tool for me to use. It's just a tool for me to use, my brain. My brain doesn't own me. I am its master. I see my brain and its trillions of cells harmoniously flow with my new conception of it. I can do as I want with my brain, for ostensibly it is all new now. Ostensibly, it's all new now. Science has found that 10,000 new stem cells are born in the brain every day. Well, that's because that's the kind of cells they were looking at. Now, there are 3 trillion cells in the brain, and there are many more trillions of cells in the body, but there are 3 trillion cells in the brain. Now, what are these 3 trillion cells doing? Do you think perhaps every one of the 3 trillion cells has the capacity to generate a stem cell? Its original purity and integrity? Do you think that if you get all excited, all goosed up, and you're all said, oh, wow, and you think, I got these 3 trillion cells in my brain, and all of them are oozing out stem cells. Wow. You don't even know what stem cells are all about, but you think you do. And so you say, wow, and you feel it flowing down your body. You feel it just sort of oozing all over you like honey, you know. And that's not always so good, but it's like honey. And it's all over you, and sticky, and you can't get rid of it. And it's you. And so you say, well, as long as I'm all honey, I might as well get it between my toes and over my nose and get it in my hair and get it everywhere, you know? And when you do that, then what happens to you? What happens to you is you are oozing with your 10 trillion stem cells all over your body, all over your being. And you think, those are stem cells, you know? My goodness, I didn't know they were so sticky, and so forth and so on. Now, can you think that way? Can you believe that way? Can you dream that way? Can you imagine that way and open up the inner self for you to this outward awareness of your stem cell activity in you? Yes, you can. Do you want to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you capable of doing that? Sure. But the big but comes when some little thing comes along in the middle of it. Now, take that look off your face, Gregor, because I was just going to answer it. Now, nobody is asking me this question. I'm putting this out for you by myself, all by myself. It's not anything any of you have in your mind. Not anything is the farthest thing from your mind. So, you have all of this honey all over you. And so along comes a bee, a honey bee. And he says, I must take this to my hive. And so he starts sapping up the honey. And he forgets himself and puts the stinger in and brings out honey into the stinger loop so he has even more honey. And meanwhile, you have this little stinger hanging on you. And you think to yourself, well, that's okay. I'm not bothered by it. And so you take your fingernail and you run it along the honey and pop, up comes the little stinger, and it doesn't mean a thing. You're totally free of it. You know, you're totally free of it itching or hurting in any way. You are totally free. Poof, what difference does it make? When I walk the path out here, oftentimes flies fly around my head or on my back, and they stick with me maybe about for 10 steps or something like that. And I'll say, move it, boys, move it, you know. And I don't know if it's more than one or, you know, just one. And I say, move it. And so they come back and they whisper in my ear and they tickle my tip of my nose and they sort of whisk by my eye and said, can you see me? You know? And I said, yes, I can see you. And so then finally they give up and they say, you're no fun. You don't want to play, you know. You keep walking along there. And what happens? Nothing. This is the same with you. When you surround yourself with your pure white stem cells, see, that's a new way, isn't that? My pure white cells, you know, my, what do we say? My pure white light of love. Yeah, that's still good. My pure white stem cells of love, you know. How about that? Hey, that's nice too, isn't it? My pure white stem cells of love. Or my pure stem cells of love. Or my stem cells of love. I surround myself with my stem cells of love. I surround myself with my stem cells of love. And all my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. Isn't that exciting? You know, it always is a benefit to change our affirmations from time to time, to bring new awarenesses into it, because we're growing up. We're growing up in our awareness of what sort of things we want to do and how we want to do them and how we want to think and how we want to feel about ourselves. And it's kind of exciting. And it's where we are and what we're doing. But play the game and you'll have lots of great times with the things that you're doing. So, we're going along great here, huh? I see my brain and its trillions of cells harmoniously flow with my new conception of it. What is your new conception of your brain? What is your new conception of your brain?
That it's full of stem cells. Beautiful white stem cells illumine my brain.
Now, you are a brown woman. What are you doing with white stem cells in your brain? You are an Indian, a red man. What are you doing with white stem cells in your brain? You're a Scandahoovian, you know, and you're pure white. What are you doing with white stem cells in your brain, you know? Yeah,
it's
interesting.
Symbol.
Huh?
It's a symbol.
Oh, they're a symbol? What is white a symbol of?
Well, of purity, of original integrity, of perfection, of ideal.
Isn't it interesting that tradition says if you marry once, you wear a white dress on your first wedding. And if you marry again, you're not allowed to have a white dress on your second wedding. Isn't that stupid? Is your second wedding any less beautiful and significant than the first? Or maybe even more significant, you know?
Right.
Now, why should anybody take a symbol and make it mean? They're trying to encourage you to keep the first marriage, never to get a divorce, never to get separated. Well, that was important in the early days, because in the early days, families were necessary to have people to work in the field and to have people to do the jobs that had to be done around the property, the house, and what have you. And the father was the boss, the matriarch, and so the patriarch, had, and he was telling them what to do and how to live. And the mother was her matriarchal self in the house doing her things and always saying, good girls never get a divorce, good girls never separate, you know. And then things change. Things change. And the wife goes to a dinner party. And at the dinner party, she meets someone who is very beautiful and very wonderful. And she says, my goodness, you're really quite a fine man. And he says, oh yes. He says, I wish you were single, because you're the kind of woman I've been looking for all my life. And she says, well, I've been married, but I've only been married because my mother set it up and I had to be married. And I'm really not happy with my marriage, but I wouldn't ever want to get a divorce because I said I'd never get a divorce. And so then he says, well, I'm here, I'm available, and if you want me, I'm yours. And if you don't, I'll understand, you know, that's perfectly okay. And so she goes to her husband, she says, I found someone who turns me on. He says, I don't turn you on? She says, no, not really. She says, I've lived with you all these years, and it was sort of like, it was a ritual. And it's something we did. It was not something that had real love and sensitivity to it. It was not a feeling where you cared about me and you really wanted to be with me. And when you decided to go someplace, you said, I'm going out to see you. And you never told me where or what you were doing. Not that it's my business, but you never told me. And I don't like that. I don't like that not being included in your life. because you're my husband and we're supposed to do things together sometimes, you know, and you go everywhere and I go nowhere, and I don't like that. And he says, well, if you don't like it, lump it, you know. And she says, well, I'll do better than lump it. I'll leave it. And he says, you can't leave me. We never get a divorce in our family. We never get separated in our family. We never have any reason for separation. And she says, well, I don't think you know, but I've been studying with Dr. Barley recently, and in taking the first course of the Art and Science of Wholeness, I learned that God is neither logical nor reasonable. And so I'm going to leave you without logic or reason, and I wish you all the happiness in the world. And so she goes her way, and she marries this man. But she's an innocent child. She is not a woman who is growing up learning how to take care of herself and take care of her world and take care of her responsibilities. She wasn't stupid, but she only knew household duties and she didn't know relationship duties. So, as she's married to this guy, she finds that relationship duties are very important. And she says to him, you know, I really don't know anything about relationship duties. And he says, well, I heard of a club downtown. It's called Newly Divorced Women and Their Relationship Duties in Their World. And he says, that sounds just like what you're interested in finding out about. So she goes down there and takes it. And the first thing they tell her in the course, you are number one. What? No, my husband's number one, not me. No, you're number one. Without you, your husband would be nothing. Well, all right, I can buy that. Now, you are number one. Now, you are intelligent. You are a genius. You are super. Well, my husband always told me I'm an idiot and I'm stupid and I don't know what side is up. And so I end up always turning things the wrong way up and things like that. But I think that may have been preconditioned by my husband saying that, you know. So the group says to her, hey, we've all been through that. We've all been through that. Stand up for who you are. Don't fight, but just stand up for who you are and walk your own way. And so she does this. And as she does this, her life becomes the most beautiful thing in the world. She now is a self-confident woman. She goes down to the hospital and offers herself as a volunteer. And so as a volunteer in the hospital, she sees how things are run, and she's really an organizer, but she's never had a chance to be an organizer. So she works in the hospital organization, in the hospital management area, and she does all the things that are necessary to do, and then she offers suggestions to various Whigs who are the board members, and saying, this might make more money for the hospital because they would have not be spending money on things not necessary, and this would be a better expenditure because it make the patients happier and have them, you know, get well better. And so the board members say, my God, you are on top of these things. And so then they give her little responsibilities, little details. And so after about 3 weeks, they say to her, the president just died. Would you like to be the president? And she says, of what? Of the hospital. Of the hospital? This is a $14 million operation, you know. And they said, no, it isn't. It's a $3 billion operation. We have hospitals in all the major cities. Oh, I didn't know that. And all of the ideas that you gave us, we put to work. And you didn't get your bonus yet, but here's your bonus. Your bonus is $1 billion. And she says, wow, why should I work? He says, because we need you, and we want you, and we love you, and you don't have to do anything. Just come here and lend us your wisdom, your genius, and go home when you want, and come when you want, and your chauffeur-driven Maserati, the pink Maserati, is waiting out in front for you, and it's yours for any use you have. Plus, you get a salary. Plus, she says, my goodness sakes. And my husband said I couldn't add beans, you know. And he says, well, it's true. Your husband is right. You couldn't add beans. You add billions. And that's the best kind. But you see, the little story I just told is not a made-up story. It's a true story. It's of two women that I know, one in Delaware and one in Florida. And they're most amazing ladies. And I had the privilege of counseling with both of them as they were going through their rearrangement of their lifestyle and their life careers. Now, I do this with you guys too. I gently work with you and counsel with you on your lifestyles and life careers and things, but so often you fight me because you think that you want to hear it said your way. Well, unfortunately, I can't speak your way. I can only speak my way. And I'm glad to speak my way and give you anything I got, but just flow with it. Do it if you like it. If you don't like it, don't do it. No problem to me, because it just makes a nice story for me. But follow your heart. Follow whatever is inside of you and whatever you feel is good and wonderful in you. And when you do that, then what you're doing is you're starting to let those stem cells percolate. You're starting to let those stem cells come forth. Because the stem cells are ready to do everything. But every time they look over the edge, they see an angry face on your face. And nothing works out right. Nothing works out right. I can't get this. And the kids don't behave, and my husband and wife don't behave. My mother and father don't behave. My whatever doesn't behave. Nothing goes right, you know. And the stem cells look over and say, oh, boy, that's kind of an angry world down there, you know. Let's curl back up under the stem brain and get back in a comfortable place there, you know. Go back in the womb. And so, you don't have to let that happen. You don't have to ever lose your brain stem cells. You don't ever have to lose any of the genius that you have. Just flow with it, go with it, watch it be something beautiful for you, and realize how wonderful you are. Let's take a pause now and come back at 1:45, and we'll do our thing here with his play. Well, it's supposed to be music in here. Here it is. There it is. Play with music and songs. So we'll come back and work on that and have a good time. Thank you for being so alive, alert, enthusiastic about life. It's a joy to share with you and a joy to just sort of ramble out here with you. I know what I'm doing, but I made it sound a little more charming and casual. So, you're welcome.
Thank you.